Welcome to the Riverside Church podcast. We hope today's message encourages you and strengthens your walk with God. Enjoy the message.
And today I want us to look at a story of redemption found in Ruth chapter 4. How many people in here are familiar with the entire story of Ruth and Boaz found in the book of Ruth? Cool. If this is accurate with whoever raised their hands, probably about 15 of us. But today I want us to almost feel like we're in Sunday school a little bit, and I want to speak a word to you with simplicity, but I pray if you just grab a hold of this idea and you just understand what the Lord has done for us, it's a powerful, powerful thing. Found in Ruth chapter 4, verse 1 through 10, and I don't have time to give the full context for everything, so we're going to read this scripture. We'll sit down and we'll go more in depth here in a second, but it says this: "Now Boaz had gone up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the Redeemer." Can somebody say the Redeemer? "Of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, 'Turn aside, friends, sit down here.' And he turned aside and sat down, and he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, 'Sit down here.' So they sat down." Come on, parents, have you ever done this with your kids? Sit down in the living room. We're going to have a discussion. We got some things we got to talk about, like Pastor Bobby said this past Sunday. "So they sat down. Then he said to the Redeemer, 'Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people, if you will redeem it." Somebody say redeem it. Redeem it. Now, simply put, what this word redeem means is this: to buy back. He's saying, Naomi, our relatives, they are losing their land. Are you going to redeem it? Are you going to buy it back for their sake? And he says, if you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me that I may know, for there is no one besides you to redeem it, and I come after you. And he said, I will redeem it, that relative said, the Redeemer. Then Boaz said, the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you shall also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate, in other words, to continue the name or the legacy of the dead in his inheritance. Then the Redeemer said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. In other words, it's going to mess up things in my estate. That's too much of inconvenience. It's one thing to buy the land, but it's another thing to take on a wife. He said, I can't do that. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it. Has anybody, I don't know if you've ever been in this situation before. I know it happened with me and my wife, Brooklyn. We're looking at couches when we first, you know, we're getting ready to move out and get married. And we saw the price of a couch online. And we were thinking to ourselves, oh, that fits within our budget. So we went to this nice couch store. We heard all about the couches and everything, how nice they were. And we said, give us a quote on it. After they gave us the quote, it was 6 or 7 times the price of what we saw online, because they said, oh, that right there, that's for one part of the sectional. You're going to need like 6 pieces. And whenever they told us that, we said, okay, you know what? That's too high of a price. We walked right out of there, y'all. We were so excited. Come on, anybody ever been there before? You think you want something, you hear about the price, they said, I think I'm good. That's what we see happening in the story. The guy said, nuh-uh, I'm good. I'm not going to redeem it. And then he tells Boaz, take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it. Now, this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm a transaction, the one drew off his sandal and gave it to the other. And this was the manner of attesting in Israel. So when the Redeemer said to Boaz, buy it for yourself, he drew off his sandal. Can you imagine being at the closing table, right? And all of a sudden, okay, here we go. I'm also reminded of whenever the Lord told Moses, he said, take off your sandals, for you, where you are standing is holy ground. This belongs to me. Have honor, have reverence, have respect. He took off his sandals. So they closed this transaction and said to Boaz, buy it for yourself. He drew off his sandal. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon, also Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon. I have bought to be my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brothers and from the gate of his native place. You are my witnesses this day. We're talking about righteousness and redemption today, but if we were to give you a subtitle for today's message, it would be this: Off the Market. Off the Market. Anybody know what this statement right here means, to be off the market? In real estate, it deals with whenever something is sold or it's pulled off. Maybe they're doing renovations or remodels, they pull it off the market. Other times it can mean that something is sold in a private transaction that's not publicly advertised or listed, or maybe it talks about the relationship status of someone. They go from being single to being dating or married, and they said, I'm off the market. Come on, anybody want to be off the market? I don't know. You came to the right place here at church? You never know. Just kidding, y'all. Just kidding. Talking about being off the market today, and we see that take place in this story, but I believe that there's some powerful things and truths here in the book of Ruth that we can grab a hold of. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing. Come on, guys, why don't we just talk to him right now? Let's make it personal. Let me not be the only one praying. Say, Lord, thank you. If you don't know what to say, just thank him. Say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for redeeming me. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, God, for your grace, for your kindness in my life. Lord, we love you, Jesus. Have your way today. In Jesus' name. And somebody said, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing in honor of reading God's word. Somebody say, off the market. Off the market. Now, I want to open up and teach a little bit and talk about the story of Ruth and Boaz, because I'm not sure how familiar you are with this passage of scripture. But this book in the Bible, it's a relatively short book. It's only 4 chapters long. I encourage you, it's a great read. Read it whenever you get a chance, in depth. And we don't have time to read it all verse by verse, but I want to kind of summarize it some. But this is known to be one of the greatest love stories that we find in the Bible. It's better than the Notebook. It's a great, I mean, honestly, it could make a movie out of this book and everything. Anybody want to see more movies made out of the Bible? Not like that movie Noah that came out a long time ago. I don't know what that was all about. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? I was like, what in the world? I don't remember that reading that in the Bible. But the story of Ruth and Boaz is a powerful story. But this story begins with a lot of tragedy, and it begins with a lot of sorrow, and it deals with, and it starts with a lot of loss. And to summarize it, it starts off with this woman by the name of Naomi. Can somebody say Naomi? Now, Naomi is an Israelite. She lives within Israel, her and her husband Elimelech. And there ends up being a famine in the land of Israel to the point where it gets so bad that her and her husband and her 2 sons, they decide to go to another land, a foreign land, by the name of Moab. It's known as the country of Moab. And they go there for that time so that way they can survive during the famine. Now, the thing about Moab is that Moab is known for being a wicked and vile place. They are known for their false god, idolatrous worship, and there are even recordings, y'all, of infant sacrifices that would take place for false gods. So there's a lot of pagan worship, a lot of idolatry taking place, but they go there for a certain time to survive during the famine. And while they're there, things get worse for Naomi. Because her husband Elimelech ends up passing away. Her 2 sons actually end up marrying 2 Moabite women. One's name is Ruth, the other's name is Orpah. And then to make matters even more worse, both of her sons end up passing away. So now we find this widow by the name of Naomi with their 2 daughter-in-laws, Ruth and Orpah. And then the famine in Israel ends up going away. Things are starting to pick back up. So Naomi says to herself, I'm going to go ahead and go back to Israel. In fact, she's from Bethlehem. I'm going to go back to Bethlehem. And she tells her 2 daughter-in-law, she says, don't feel pressured to come with me. Why? Because I have nothing to offer you. I have nothing of materialistic worth to offer you. And she even said, I'm too old to even have any children. So if you come with me, there's nothing of benefit really for you. I can't have any more children so that way you could have sons. And even if I do, you're going to have to wait a while before they grow up. So Orpah ends up leaving Naomi and not going with her back to Israel. But then Ruth sees and senses something on the life of Naomi that Orpah didn't. Why? Because they came from a false god, paganistic culture and world and upbringing. So Ruth, she makes this powerful statement and this powerful vow that we find in Ruth chapter 1. Maybe you've heard it before, but Ruth tells Naomi this. She says, wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Wherever you die, I will die. Wherever you're buried, I will be buried. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. So she makes this powerful statement to Naomi. Naomi's really at a loss for words, and she says, I'm not going to be able to get rid of this lady. Come on, let's go. She goes. So Ruth leaves everything behind. She leaves everything that she's known up until this point behind, and she begins to follow after Ruth and really to worship and follow the one true God, Yahweh, Jehovah, the God of the people of Israel. And when they get there, they begin to struggle. Because you have to understand this, they're both widows. And to be a widow during this time would have put you at the very bottom of the barrel of society, because they didn't have a husband to provide for them and protect them, and they had next to nothing. And it gets so bad that they have to scavenge and scrape to get by, to the point that the scripture says that Ruth would go out to the field where the harvesters were, and she would follow behind the people that were harvesting the seed and the grain and preparing the field, and she would pick up the scraps off the ground in order for her and Naomi to get by and have food. They called it gleaning. She would glean behind them, but while she's in this field gleaning, the scripture says that this man by the name of Boaz noticed her. That Ruth caught the attention of Boaz. Now, Boaz was this wealthy and influential and just a prominent man in this area. People that knew of Boaz said, man, that's a good man. That's a righteous man. That's a good guy. I almost want to say the joke about it. You know, ladies, you need to wait for your Boaz, because there's other. Anybody ever seen that before? He's got some cousins. Broke ass. Okay, Lord Jesus, help me, Lord. Help me. AZ, I didn't say it the other way. Drunk, you get the point. Anybody, you need to wait for your Boaz, somebody. I had to say that preacher joke, y'all. You've probably seen it before, but. But she ends up getting the attention of Boaz. Boaz asks, who is that lady? Who is that person? And he ends up, you know what he ends up doing? He ends up saying, you know what? Go ahead and leave more grain for her. Leave more behind for her. And she ends up going there for the scraps, and she ends up leaving with 30 pounds of groceries, you could say, y'all. Can you imagine going to the store for a lunch? Okay, this is a better example. Imagine going to HEB saying, I want to try some samples on this Saturday because they're free. And then somebody steps up and says, here's a $200 HEB gift card. Come on, somebody. She ends up leaving, coming back to her home, going back to Naomi. And then Naomi says, what happened? My goodness, who has shown favor to you? And she tells her, it's Boaz. And get this, come to find out, Boaz is a relative to Naomi. And since Boaz is a relative to Naomi, that puts Boaz in a unique position to be able to purchase and redeem and restore the land that they have lost and that they were losing, and also to help continue the legacy that otherwise would have stopped with Ruth and Naomi. Because this was something that was put in motion that we see by God. Because get this, in Leviticus chapter 25, we see God put a plan of redemption in motion. Even when it comes to the redemption of land and personal rights of people, check this out. In Leviticus chapter 25, the Lord established this. It says this, and in all the country you possess, you shall allow a redemption. Somebody say redemption. Of the land, if your brother becomes poor and sells part of his property, then his nearest redeemer, somebody say redeemer, shall come and redeem what his brother has sold. So get this, we see God put this plan of redemption in place where if somebody's relative ended up losing their land Maybe there was a hardship. Maybe there was a widow. Maybe there was something, this tragic that took place. There would be a redeemer that would be the nearest relative that had a place and a position of wealth where they could step in and buy back the land to redeem it and continue the legacy. Many times it was the firstborn son, because the firstborn son received a double portion of the inheritance from the family and from the father. So Boaz, he's in a place and position, but here's the thing. There was a relative that was closer in relation to Ruth and Naomi that should have been the first one to step in and redeem the land. I want to show you this real quick, because I think this is powerful to see this too. Even this word redeem, it comes from two Hebrew words right here. When you talk about it in the Old Testament and the Hebrew, that's what it was originally written in. The word redeem comes from the Hebrew word gayal, which means to buy back or the action of a kinsman redeemer. So even this word redeem points to a kinsman, in other words, a relative close, a kin, next of kin, that could step in and redeem. And then right here for redeemer or kinsman redeemer comes from the Hebrew word goel, which is the nearest relative charged with the duty of redeeming and restoring property and personal rights of the relative who may have lost them due to poverty, death, or even slavery, also known, get this, as the avenger of blood. So you could assume, and we know that Naomi and Ruth were in desperate need of a redeemer. They had nothing at all. They were scrapping and scavenging to get by. And Ruth, when she hears this news from Naomi about Boaz being able to redeem them, she goes to Boaz, who Boaz already found favor with Ruth, and Ruth stood out to her, and he talks to her, and he hears her out, and he senses her heart, and he can sense the character that she has and the heart that she even has for the Lord and the loyalty that she has to her mother-in-law. And he says this, he said, you know what? I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to gather and have a meeting with the elders, but let me tell you, there's somebody who's even closer in relation to you that's in a position and a place to be able to redeem your land and to redeem you. So he gets this meeting, they gather together, and he begins to talk about this, and he said, Naomi, the land that they've lost, they're losing. You right here, you're in a position. You're the next relative. Are you going to redeem it? And then the guy says, once he hears about the full cost of it all, he said, that's too much. That's too much of a price to pay. But it was Boaz that stepped in as the kinsman redeemer that came and purchased the land. He helped the debt that was due to them. He helped make sure it was paid. But not only did he do that, he took on Ruth to be his bride. Think about that for a second. He took Ruth to be his bride. If you want to go even deeper with this, check this out. Ruth and Boaz, they have a son by the name of Obed. Obed has a son by the name of Jesse. Jesse has a son by the name of David, who you and I know as King David. And through the family line and lineage of King David, we get King Jesus, the Son of God. Oh man, come on somebody. Isn't the Bible amazing? But it all took place through a man that said, you know what? I'm gonna step in as the kinsman redeemer. I know they don't really have nothing to offer me. They don't have nothing good going for them. Even this lady, this is a Moabite woman that's a Gentile. She's not even a Jewish woman. She's coming from a false god, idolatrous place. She is far from God, but I see her, and I want her, and I love her, and I'm going to step in, and I will pay off the debt. I will step in and redeem her and her family and the land, and we will continue the legacy, and that legacy was leading to Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God. born of the Virgin Mary. Even get this, in Matthew chapter 1 and in Luke chapter 3, we see the genealogy of Jesus. Matthew and Luke, one dealing with the genealogy of Joseph, the father, the stepfather of Jesus, and one dealing with the genealogy of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And God told David this. He said, I will establish a king to sit on your throne who will rule and reign forever, and your kingdom will know no end. The kingdom of God. It was all leading to Jesus. And I can't, man, I'm telling you what right now, and you may be saying, why is he yelling around? I don't know. I just love the Bible. Isn't this, man, I can't help but to think about this, y'all. I can't help but to think about the parallels of Boaz being the redeemer for Ruth, just like how Christ has been a redeemer for us. That Christ is our kinsman redeemer. Think about this for a second. We said it already, but Ruth finds herself in a place where they had a debt. Naomi, get this, Jew and Gentile. Jew and Gentile found themselves in a place. Naomi and Ruth, they had a debt that they could not pay. They needed a redeemer to come in and redeem them. They needed redemption, and God had a plan in place to redeem them already. And Boaz steps in, and he pays the price. He buys the land, but not only that, he made Ruth his bride. And in a similar way, can I tell you that you and I, we need to understand and realize this, that us as humanity, we have a debt of sin that we could not pay on our own. The scripture says that the wages of sin is death. The scripture says that all have fallen short of the glory of God. We've all missed the mark. There is a debt and we could never reach it. We can never attain it. You and I could never pay it off. You and I couldn't save ourselves. Jesus Christ had to come down, the Son of God. He came down and he paid the price on the cross as the kinsman redeemer to set you free. He shed his blood on Calvary for you and for me. He paid the debt he did not owe, because we owed a debt that you and I could not pay. But not only has he forgiven you and cleansed you of your sins, but now he is calling you his bride. He is calling you his son. He has called you his daughter. Oh, come on. Do we have any people in here that know that we are the bride of Christ? Jew, Gentile, Naomi, Ruth, Jesus, he died not only for the Jew, he died for us as Gentile people. I know you may be very proud of your legacy and your heritage and all those things, but let me tell you something. If it wasn't for Jesus, stepping in and paying the price, you and I, we were far from God, but thank God for the blood. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy. That's the first point I want to give you today, is this, that Christ is our kinsman redeemer. Christ is our kinsman redeemer. Because let me remind you and tell you that everything in Scripture, everything in the Bible points to Jesus. Look for Jesus in Scripture, and guess what? You will find Jesus in Scripture. Because it all points to him. Even he told his disciples, he sat down with them and he told them everything that was in the Old Testament and how it was pointing and correlating to him. In the book of Genesis, he's the seed of the woman that would crush the head of the serpent. In the book of Exodus, he was the Passover lamb that would come and take away the sins of the world. In the book of Leviticus, he is our great high priest that makes intercession for us. In the book of Numbers, he is the water in the desert that would quench our thirst and quench our souls. In the book of Deuteronomy, he is the prophet greater and higher than Moses that would fulfill the law. In the book of Joshua, he is the captain of our salvation that is mighty in battle. In the book of Judges, he is our perfect judge that executes perfect justice. And in the book of Ruth, he is the kinsman redeemer that paid the price for your freedom. Come on, anybody thankful for that today? Come on, I don't know who this word is for today, but maybe you find yourself in a situation like Ruth where you feel alone, you feel neglected, you feel abandoned, you feel like you're at your wit's end, you feel like you have next to nothing, maybe you've made mistakes, maybe things were taken from you. Let me tell you, the Redeemer has his eyes on you. He sees you, he loves you, he's called you, he's chosen you, he wants to use you, and he can redeem you, not only redeem your salvation and purchase your salvation, but he wants to redeem your family. He wants to redeem your mind. He wants to redeem your marriage. He wants to redeem your career. He wants to redeem your calling. And he wants to take everything that the enemy took from you and return it in a greater way. Why? Because he is my kinsman redeemer. You got to make this personal, y'all. If you could just see this, that Christ, that Jesus is my kinsman. My kinsman. That I am related and connected to Christ. How is that possible? Because Jesus, yes, he was fully God, but he was also fully man. Think about this for a second. That God set a plan of redemption in motion, and God abided by the plan of redemption even when it came to our salvation. He didn't just snap his fingers. No, he said this, I set this word in place, because if there's one thing God will not and cannot do, it's to go back on his word, because God cannot and will not lie. The scripture says that God is not a man that he should lie. And God had this plan of redemption in place. And he said, you know what? I see my son. I see my daughter. They're hurting. They're broken. They're dead in their sin. There is no hope. They could never earn it. They could never achieve it. They could never measure up to the law. So I'm going to send my son. God manifested in flesh. Jesus Christ stepped in. And he became like you and me, so that way you and me can become more like him. That he who knew no sin became sin, so that way you and I can become the righteousness of God. And nobody else could pay that price. Nobody. Nobody else could pay that price. Only God. Only by the blood. Only by the shedding of blood can there be a remission of sins. Jesus shed his blood and paid the ultimate price. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomsoever will believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Anybody thankful for the redemption that we have in Jesus? Let me give you some scripture. I love this right here. Scripture says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 through 15, it says this. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have what? Redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins. He is the image of an invisible God. Other translations say he's the visible image of an invisible God. Speaking of Jesus, I love this right here. The firstborn. Somebody say firstborn. Firstborn over all creation. Other scriptures say that he is the firstborn among many brethren. That put Jesus in the rightful place to be the kinsman redeemer. But he didn't come to the enemy. He didn't come to Lucifer with some money in his pocket. He didn't pay for us. We weren't paid for with perishable things that fade away and waste away. It says this right here in 1 Peter 18 through 19 says, knowing that you were not redeemed, somebody say redeemed, with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through 31 says this, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world
to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. Who is he talking about? Talking about us. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him you are in. Somebody say in. Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glorifies, let him glory in the Lord. Let him glory in the Lord. I just think of the parallel of Ruth. Nothing to have, nothing to offer, weak, shameless, at the bottom of the barrel, but her Redeemer saw her. Let me tell you, the Redeemer sees you. And he wants to be in your life, and he wants your life to be in him. We are called to be in Christ because in Christ there is redemption, there is salvation, there is sanctification, there is justification, there's all the shins in Jesus. Notice how he didn't say to be in a church building. He said to be in Christ. That's my prayer. Not that we wouldn't just check off church as the to-do list, I came to church today, but that we would live our life where we understand we are the church. Christ is my kinsman redeemer. He paid the price for me. Therefore, I'm going to live my life in a way underneath submission and surrender to him. Why? Because Christ is in me. I am in Christ. It is no longer I who live. It is Christ who lives in me. I feel the presence of God right now in this moment. God is here right now in this moment. Thank you, Jesus. Can we just thank him right now? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for redeeming us. Come on, right now in this moment, can you just talk to him? Can we just give him some praise in this place right now? Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for setting us free. Thank you, Lord, for paying the price. Thank you, Lord, for your redemption in our life, God. For while we were still sinners, you died for us, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Somebody say redemption. Redemption. Let's go deeper in this for just a second right here. We talked about the Hebrew meanings for redemption. Now I want to talk about the Greek meanings that we find in the New Testament for redemption, because this is a powerful thing right here. Because I want you to get this, that if you had a debt during this time, during this ancient time that you couldn't pay, many people would then become an indentured servant, or you could even say a slave, to work off their debt. And by being a slave, they would work for a certain amount of time, and they would work hard and long enough as a slave because of the debt that they had, so that way they could redeem themselves. And in the New Testament, this word redemption actually comes from four different Greek words, just like the word love in the Greek has four different words as well, because isn't it funny how we use the word love for so many things? You can say, I love tacos, and I love my wife. Who knows? Those are two different types of love. Or at least I pray it is, right? That there's an agape love. There's a phileo brotherly love. There's a eros. There's a storge. There's all different. And in this word redemption, y'all, I think it just shows the layers of what Jesus has done for us when we understand this word redemption even more. Because first of all, that we see it in Scripture, agorazo, when it talks about redemption, describing the marketplace of slaves. Exagorazo talks about out of the marketplace for slaves. Lutrosis means the full payment of a slave. Apolutrosis means the full payment, get this, of a slave's freedom. The full payment of a slave's freedom. What am I trying to say to you right now? Because of the debt of sin in our lives, we were considered slaves to sin. We were considered slaves to the enemy. And get this, it didn't matter how long we worked or how long we put our hand to the plow, we could never redeem and save ourselves. You and I cannot pay the price It would only be by Jesus coming in and paying the price as a kinsman redeemer. And get this, in the spirit, just imagine this for a second. In the spirit, before Jesus, we were slaves to sin, bound up, chained up, no hope, no future, no life. And God stepped up to the plate. God stepped up to the block, and he saw us, and he saw you, and he sees people, and he said, I am willing to pay the price. And he purchased us, and he took us off the market. I'm going to insert this for a second. Even this word sin in the Hebrew comes from the word chata, which means to miss the mark. Because that's what it's about, sin, to miss the mark, to not measure up. And all of us, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And ever since humanity's missed the mark, we've been put on the market. On the market of sin. We couldn't save ourselves, but Jesus stepped in and set us free. What am I trying to say? Second point, let's get ready to come to a close. Christ has bought you and purchased you off the market. He, just think about this, we're talking about a marketplace. He has purchased you and bought you off the market. See, you know what happens many times? Many people are selling themselves cheap to sin because they don't understand the value and price that Jesus has paid for them. Don't sell yourself cheap. Don't lower your standards and your conviction and your values and who you are as a child of God. You're not a slave anymore. You're not called to walk in bondage anymore. You're not called to walk into defeat anymore. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. I'm not going to go back to those things. I may fail. I may fall short. You may take a glance, right? But I'm going to turn my eyes on Jesus, my kinsman redeemer. The author, the perfecter, the finisher of my faith. See, because I'm not going to live my life as a slave. I'm going to live my life as a son. I'm going to live my life as a child of God. Do you see God as your heavenly father? Do you see God as your father? Do you see God as a taskmaster? Do you see God as just someone that just wants to be controlling and manipulative and mean? And you know what the problem is? I don't know. I need to say this right now. Many people, because they've had a bad experience with their earthly father, they didn't have a skewed and messed up perspective of their heavenly father. And you may have been hurt. You may have been abused. You may have been neglected. And you may be asking yourself, Lord, where are you? God, I'm chained up. God, I'm bound up. I don't know what to do. Let me tell you, Jesus sees you. And he loves you. And he gave his life for you. And he has a plan for you. And he wants to use you. We serve a good Father. We serve a good God. Amen. I'm reminded of the story of the prodigal son. Remember the prodigal son? You know what he was saying to himself? When he was in the pig's pen, it occurred to him. He said, you know what? Even my father's servants, you could almost say slaves, they have it better than I do. You know what? Maybe if I go back, he'll take me as one of them. At least I'll have a bed. At least I'll have some food. And he goes back thinking to himself, you know what? He doesn't see me as a son. See, you're not a son by worth. You're a son by birth. A son and daughter of God. And he came back, and his father welcomed him with open arms. He embraced him. He put a robe around him, put a ring on his finger, and he let everybody see. He let everybody see. The father didn't care. In fact, the father ran. And that alone, to be a man in the Middle East, to run like that would have been seen as something as dishonorable. But he didn't care about all that. He ran. He said, this is my son. He was once dead, but now he's alive. I know he took this inheritance. I know he lived in this way, but he's coming back home. And I can't help but to just run towards him. Some people, you need to come back home today. You need to come back to the Father today. You need to stop being caught up in the same cycle and thinking to yourself, it's always going to be like this. No. There is power in the blood. He can cleanse you of your sins. He can forgive you. And not only that, but he wants to empower you with his Holy Spirit to do what he has called you to do. You're not a slave. You're a child of the Most High God. Start walking like it. Start talking like it. Start living like it. The enemy may try to feed you lies and tell you this or that or whatever. You need to speak back the word of God. There is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. I want to read the scripture right here. I know this is a simple word today, but I just want to be obedient today. Galatians chapter 4, verse 3 through 7 says this. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption. Can somebody say adoption? As sons. And because you are sons, God sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can we stand to our feet today? Christ is our kinsman redeemer. Christ has purchased us and bought us off the market. I'm reminded of the story of Hosea and Gomer. We don't have the time to go over it all, but we see this man of God, this prophet by the name of Hosea in scripture, and God gives him odd instructions. He tells them to go and marry this woman who is known for being a prostitute. She was on the market. She would sell herself. He took her in, made her his wife, but she kept on going back and going back and going back. And the Lord instructed him time and time again, go and purchase her. Think about that. His own wife. He had to buy back and redeem his own wife. And Hosea was like, Lord, why are you having me do this? He said, I want you to know, and I want the people of Israel to know how it is when it comes to me and them. That they may find themselves getting caught up in that same sin and on the market time and time again, and maybe worshiping false gods and all these things, but I am right here chasing after them. I'm willing to pay the price, but let me tell you, when it comes to your salvation and your redemption, there is no payment plan. It's not on credit. It was one final payment that Jesus paid for your freedom and for your salvation. So don't cancel yourself out and be like, you know what? I can't come to God. The blood of Jesus was shed once. And even whenever Jesus comes back one day, you know when Jesus comes back, he is not coming back to die on the cross again. He's not coming to shed his blood like that again. He's coming as the king. To rule, to reign, to exercise his judgment. He's coming back for you as his bride. He's coming back for you as the church, and he is waiting for you to rise up as his bride. He's waiting for you to stand up in your authority, to stand up in your redemption, to stand up in your freedom. Can we do that today?
Can we just surrender right now in this moment? If you're in this place and you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, right now is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Nobody leaving yet. This is a holy moment for somebody to receive Jesus Christ and to come back home. The Lord has been calling you. It's no coincidence or accident that you're here right now or you're watching online right now. You may feel alone. You may feel broken. You may feel defeated. But let me tell you, the Redeemer has his eyes on you. He loves you. He paid the price for you on the cross. Come on, right now in this moment, just surrender. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Come on, let's begin to pray together right now. Make it personal. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Cleanse me. Wash me right now. I believe in who you are. I believe that you died. I believe that you rose. I repent, Lord. I turn towards you. I give you my life right now in this moment. I surrender to you right now. Thank you for your redemption. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your power. Come on, right now, can we begin to raise our hands? Can we raise our hearts? Can we just begin to worship? Come on, right now, if you feel like you're chained up and bound up today, the Lord wants to let you know you can walk out of here free in the name of Jesus. You can walk out of here knowing your identity as a child of God. You're not a slave no more. The enemy's been feeding you lies. Come on, right now, I believe it, that the Spirit of God can touch you right where you're at. Come on, let's begin to worship. Give him praise today. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's begin to sing it out. Let's not leave yet. Let's give him praise today. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you liked what you heard, be sure to subscribe and share it with a friend. For more information about who we are, visit RiversideChurchTX.com.